Okay, Rav Moshe, go ahead.
Okay. This Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh Elul, the first day Rosh Chodesh Elul. And a week from today on Sunday is the second day Rosh Chodesh Elul and the first day of Chodesh Elul, the first day of the month of Elul. And Elul is a month that is preparation for the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's preparation for Rosh Hashanah. The days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim and Yom HaKippurim. And there are all kinds of customs regarding the blowing of the shofar. Could be, we'll discuss it in other shiurim also, the custom of blowing the shofar on Elul. And according to Jewish tradition, this was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu was up on Har Sinai to receive the second set of luchos, to replace the first set of luchos, the first tablets of the Ten Commandments that were broken because the Jewish people made the golden calf. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second set of the tablets of the luchos on Yom HaKippurim. And because of that, Yom HaKippurim has been identified as a day of a kapara, as a day of atonement, because to a large degree, the atonement that the Jewish people received for the building of the golden calf was received on Yom HaKippurim. But the preparation for those days, in accordance with Jewish tradition, begins in the month of Elul, because the month of Elul is identified with Moshe Rabbeinu going up to the mountain to receive the second set of tablets. Now, it's by custom, the month of Elul is identified with a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. Shir HaShirim is a love story, but it's a mashal. It speaks of the love relationship that exists between God and the Jewish people. And you take the words, Ani l'dodi v'dodi li, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. So the word Ani starts with an aleph. L'dodi, to my beloved, starts with a lamed. V'dodi starts with a vav. Li starts with a lamed. It spells Elul. So the month of Elul is identified in accordance with Jewish tradition with the love relationship that exists between God and the Jewish people. Now, actually, that seems to be a very strange thing. There was an expression that in the month of Elul, in the cities of Europe, they would say that even the fish in the brooks used to shiver from the fear of Elul. And I think the Jews would say that because they themselves were shaking. Matter of fact, there was a saying in Europe, Arye Yishag, the pasuk says, a lion roars, Milo Yira, who does not fear? And the Balei Musar would say, Arye, what does Arye stand for? Aleph stands for Elul. Resh stands for Rosh Hashanah. Yud-Hei stands for Yom HaKippurim. So on one hand, Elul is identified with fear of God. Or even sometimes being afraid of the Yom HaDin. On the other hand, Elul is Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. So I'm wondering, what was the reason that the sages throughout the generations identified Elul primarily with Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me, instead of identifying it with the idea of awe and fear? Why was the emphasis primarily on Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li? Now, of course, they're both correct. Now, we know that we are, this week, will be the third week of the Shiva de Nechemta. I've talked about it, and I'll probably talk about it again. But the Shiva de Nechemta are the seven Shabbosos that follow Tisha B'Av, the 7 weeks of consolation. Each week has a special Haftorah of consolation. And the question is, why is it that in regard to these 7 weeks, what happens if one of the weeks, as it does this year, falls out on Rosh Chodesh, one Shabbos, falls out Rosh Chodesh this year? The first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul is on Shabbos. The first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul is on Shabbos, and because of that, there's a contradiction. Which Haftorah should we read? Should we read the Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh, Hashemayim Tisi? Or do we read the Haftorah of the Shiva de Nechemta, of the seven weeks of of consolation following Tisha B'Av? And there is a machlokas, there's a dispute about it. And there seems to be a dispute between the Mechaber and the Ramah, how we paskin. The opinion of the Mechaber, and that is the Sephardic custom, and even though I'm an Ashkenazi, I'm going to focus on that opinion today. The opinion of the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef, is that we push aside the Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh, and we focus on the Haftorah of the Shiva Nechemta, the 7 weeks of consolation. Now, it's interesting, because before we have the 7 weeks of consolation, before Tisha B'Av, we have 3 weeks of mourning. And sometimes one of those Haftorahs come in conflict with the Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh also. The second week of the 3 weeks sometimes falls out on Rosh Chodesh Av, two Shabbosos before Tisha B'Av. Now, the second Haftorah of the three Haftorahs of the morning period is Shimon. But we have to say, on Rosh Chodesh, Hashemayim Tisi. So the Mechaber, and that's the Sephardic custom, when it comes to the 3 weeks, he says Rosh Chodesh takes precedence. But when it comes to 3 weeks of mourning, we push aside the Haftorah of mourning, and we put in the Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh, of Hashemayim Tisi. But when it comes to the 7 weeks of consolation, so the main Haftorah that we say is the Haftorah, in the 7 weeks of consolation is not the Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh, but the Haftorah of Ani Asora, which is the third Haftorah of consolation. Why this difference? Why, when it comes to the 3 weeks, the Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh takes precedence? And when it comes to the 7 weeks of consolation, the Haftorah of consolation takes precedence. Why should it be that way? But The answer, I think, is very simple. The Mefarshim, the commentators, and I've mentioned this before, they cite a medrash, a psikta. And the psikta, what the psikta did, it took the first pasuk, it took the first verse of each of the haftoris of consolation, and in a sense, weaved them together. The first haftorah is Nachmu, Nachmu Ami. Console, console my people, God said. God talks to the prophets, and he tells the prophets, console my people. And the second week, Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem, the first verse says, Zion said, God has forsaken me. God has left me. God wants nothing to do with me. Of course, the rest of the Haftorah is a rejection of that, but the psikta focus is only on the first pasuk. So, Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem. So Zion tells the prophets, they reject the consolation that the prophets give them in the name of God. And they say, God has forsaken me. God wants nothing to do with me. And then the prophets go back to God. That's the Haftorah this week. And they say, Ani Asara lo nuchama. The afflicted, storm-tossed, unconsoled one, the Jewish people throughout their gullahs, throughout their exile. They were afflicted. They had suffered from storms. But they're unconsoled. They refuse to accept the nechama. They refuse to accept the consolation that we, the prophets, gave. And next week's Haftorah starts off, Anochi, Anochi, hu menachemchem. It is I, God. It is I, God, who is consoling you. In other words, it's not the consolation of the prophets. It's me, God, who is consoling you. And then it goes on in the same spirit with the next two Haftorahs, Rani Akarlo, Yalada, Pitzchik, and then Kumiori, rise up. That your light has come. And then in the seventh week, the Jewish people says, so asis b'Hashem, I will enjoy intensely with Hashem. My soul shall exalt with my God, for he has dressed me in the raiments of salvation, in a robe of righteousness. He has cloaked me like a bridegroom who dons priestly glory, like a bride who bedeckens herself in jewelry. So the first three haftorahs talk about the Jewish people rejecting the consolation of the prophets. The next three represent God himself consoling the Jewish people. And the seventh haftorah, the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. So the Jewish people accept the consolation of God. And they talk about how they feel like a bride and like a groom, like people embarking on a marriage relationship, preparing for their wedding. So how are we to understand? How we understand? So in other words, there's a difference between the 3 weeks and the 7 weeks. In the 3 weeks, each week is a separate Haftorah. And one Haftorah in the 3 weeks of mourning, one Haftorah has nothing to do with the other Haftorah. But when it comes to consolation, when it comes to the 7 weeks of consolation, besides the theme of consolation that is in each individual Haftorah, there is a theme of consolation in connecting all the Haftorahs together. There is no question if Rosh Chodesh conflicts with one individual week, Rosh Chodesh takes precedence. But here, it's not a question of just according to the Mechaber of one particular week. If you miss one Haftorah, if you skip one Haftorah, so the message that connects all the Haftorahs of consolation is missing. In other words, we have to see the whole picture of consolation. We have to see how God sent the Nabi and the prophets, and the Jewish people reject the prophets. And then God himself consoles the Jewish people. And then the Jewish people feel exalted. They feel like people on their wedding day. So we have to understand this joint message. Why is it so significant that this joint? So Rosh Chodesh can push off a Haftorah of 1 week, but to take away the meaning of the Haftorahs of 7 weeks, the special message from putting all the Haftorahs together, from putting the first verse of all the Haftorahs together, that Rosh Chodesh is not capable of doing. That's the sheet of the Mechaber. Now, we have to understand what is behind all of this. Now, it's interesting, the Ramban, in this week's Sedra, the Sifri talks, because there are many references in this week. V'rishtem osam, yirashtem osam, yishaptem ba, you shall go in, you shall conquer the land of Canaan, and you shall dwell therein. So the Sifri here talks about the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of the mitzvah of acquiring the land of Israel, and about the mitzvah of living in the land of Israel. And the Sifri talks about how the Amutsam Panoim, when they were just about to leave Eretz Yisrael, recited Psukim from this week's Sedra, and they started crying. And they immediately returned to their homes because they didn't like the idea of leaving Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, from here we see, he disagrees with the Rambam. I'm not going to go into the Rambam Shita today, but he says, we see from here there is a mitzvah in all periods of time to inherit the land of Israel and to dwell in the land. And the Ramban in Chumash, he says it's because of this mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael that there is a special halacha that one spouse can pressure another spouse halachically to move to join them in moving to Eretz Yisrael. Now, the halacha of moving to Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply just to Eretz Yisrael. The halacha of moving to Eretz Yisrael, of pressuring a spouse to move to Eretz Yisrael, applies also to move to Jerusalem. In other words, one spouse can pressure with certain limitations. I'm not going to go into the details now. Not only to tell the spouse, I want to move to the land of Israel, but in Israel, a spouse could tell another spouse, I want to move to Jerusalem. So the question is, according to the Ramban, he says this halacha, that one could pressure a spouse, that's based on the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of living in the land of Israel. And it's true, Yerushalayim has more kedusha. But from the perspective of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, from the perspective of the mitzvah of dwelling in Eretz Yisrael, why should Yerushalayim have a greater mitzvah, there should be a greater mitzvah in living in Jerusalem than, say, living in Tel Aviv or Bnei Brak? Why should there be a greater mitzvah of living in Yerushalayim? Now, It's very interesting. The Kaf de Meferech, he doesn't discuss that question. But the Kaf de Meferech, that was a book written by one of the Rishonim that focuses on the laws of Eretz Yisrael. And the Kaf de Meferech says, he raises the question, our sages tell us, well, certainly the Rambam Paskins, there is an opinion in the Gemara that way, that when the Babylonian exile took place, when the Babylonian exile took place, and the Jews had to leave the land of Israel and had to go to Babylonia, perhaps present-day Iraq. So Eretz Yisrael lost its kedusha. It lost its sanctification. What was the sanctification of Eretz Yisrael? You know, it lost its sanctification for the mitzvos hatluyos v'aretz. There was no longer a mitzvah of trumas u'maisros. There was no longer the mitzvah of peyah, of bikurim, all the mitzvos that have to do with the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael ceased to exist during the 70 years of exile, because the kedusha, the sanctity of the land of Eretz Yisrael was removed. And the question is, did Eretz Yisrael have a special halacha during that 70-year period? It was no longer sanctified. Between the years when the Jews went to Babylonian exile and when they returned to Eretz Yisrael, led by Ezra, did Eretz Yisrael have special status? Or was Eretz Yisrael, chas v'shalom, I don't mean anything, like Chicago or like any other city? And the answer is, Eretz Yisrael, the Captain Perich, always had special status. From the time that Avram Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael had special status. What was the special status that Eretz Yisrael had? So the Kaf de Meferech says that Eretz Yisrael, besides the kedusha for the mitzvos, besides the special status it had to make me required in the mitzvah of giving trumos and maisros, Eretz Yisrael has special status because of the presence of the Shekhinah, because the ability for us to sense the divine presence in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, this is what I believe in any case. God is everywhere. But what when we talk about Eretz Yisrael having dusha, God being present in Eretz Yisrael, when we talk about God being present in the sight of the Beis HaMikdash, what does it mean? It means that we are more sensitive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to be more sensitive to his presence in different places. So the Eretz Yisrael, besides the dusha for the mitzvah, besides the sanctity it has to make me required in certain mitzvahs, Eretz Yisrael also has what the Kaf de Meferech says, dusha shechina. It has the sanctity of the presence of the shechina, of the ability to sense the presence of God there. And it's very interesting. The Gemara in Ksuba says, we understand the Ramban Shita, I think. In other words, because Eretz Yisrael is the land of Israel, it's the land that belongs to the Jewish people. It's the land where the Jew that was given over to Avram Avinu, to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and was inherited by us. But Eretz Yisrael also is the land of the presence of the Shekhinah. So it represents that special personal relationship that exists between the Jewish people and God, in a sense. When a Jew comes to Eretz Yisrael, he feels closer to God because of the presence of the Shekhinah. So when we move to Eretz Yisrael, it's not just the mitzvah of taking control of the land. Of course, that's certainly part of the mitzvah. But it's having a homeland and living in the homeland where we live together with God. where we have the sense of closeness to God. And I think that that's the idea. So, yes, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is having control of the land. But it's having control of the land and living in the land in order to have, to be able to have a special relationship with God. And perhaps that's what the Torah warns us time and time again, that if we do not act properly, the land of Israel will split us out of the land. Because there we sense the presence of God. And the purpose of having the land is that we should be able to have that special relationship with God. And so Yerushalayim, which has greater Kisha, which has greater sanctity of the presence of God. So the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of dwelling in Eretz Yisrael, is even greater. Because we're able to sense his presence in a much stronger manner in Yerushalayim. And it's very interesting. The Gemara in Tzuvah says that it's based on a pasuk, in the Chumash Vayikra, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the God that took you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan, to be a God, to be a God for you, to be an Elohim for you. And the Gemara in Ksuvah at first says, and then the Gemara seems to reject it, but Rashi seems to say the Gemara doesn't reject it. The Gemara says, we see from that that if somebody lives in the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if he has a God. And if he leaves the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if he doesn't have a God. So the Gemara says, you can't say someone leaves the land of Israel, he doesn't have a God. But Rashi quotes this Gemara, but Rashi only quotes the first part. In other words, a person who leaves the land of Eretz Yisrael also has a God. Can have a God. But if somebody lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's considered as if he does have a God. In other words, what's the idea? What do you mean? He has a God. What does it mean that he has a God? So I want to discuss that. Now, it's very interesting. And it's very interesting. At the end of last week's Sedra, the Torah tells us, and this is at least to say this every twice a day in Kriyashma, that in the Parsha Vayomer, Vavadetem Mehera Mi'al Aretz Hatova, if you will not do what I told you, so you'll be lost from the land of Israel, you'll go into Golas, you'll be in exile. And immediately after that, the Torah tells us about the mitzvah of tefillin, and the Torah tells us about the mitzvah of mezuzah. And the Torah says, so Rashi says, why? No, it's the Torah is telling us that even when you go into exile, you should make sure to wear tefillin and make sure to put a mezuzah on your door. Why? So when you return to the land of Israel, it shouldn't seem like new mitzvahs, like something you didn't do beforehand. Now, what does that mean? It seems to imply that if not for this pasuk, a person could have suggested that a person, once the Jewish people went into exile, in exile there was no mitzvah of tefillin, that in exile there was no mitzvah of mezuzah. How could I have thought such a possibility? So the pasuk comes and tells me, no, there is a mitzvah. But if I didn't have a special pasuk, I would say there is no special mitzvah of mezuzah and tefillin. And the truth of the matter is, if you read the Rashi, the two ways to read the Rashi, you could say tefillin and mezuzah are mentioned as a general example of mitzvah saseh, of positive commandments. It's not just tefillin and mezuzah. If you say it's just tefillin and mezuzah, so then you could say the reason why tefillin, because the first real mitzvah that the Jewish people got, besides B'chor, and that had directly to do with the exodus of Egypt, was the mitzvah tefillin. It's also Zeichet Yetzias Mitzrayim. But in a sense, the mitzvah tefillin shows that we were redeemed from Egypt. We're no longer slaves. This is how we demonstrate. We demonstrate our freedom that we're no longer slaves by wearing tefillin. That's the juxtaposition of the mitzvah tefillin right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, right after the Exodus. And the mitzvah mezuzah, what's the significance of the mitzvah mezuzah? Mitzvah mezuzah is where you dwell. The only true dwelling place of the Jew is in Eretz Yisrael. So I would say, when we go into exile, that's a negation of the Exodus. We see in the kinnis that we just recently said, we compare Bitzeisi mi Mitzrayim with Bitzeisi mi Yerushalayim, when I left Egypt and when I left Jerusalem. Leaving Jerusalem, being forced out of Eretz Yisrael, is a negation of our freedom as Jews. So a person would say, perhaps in Golos, when we're not free, we don't wear the mitzvah, we don't wear tefillin, we don't put on a mezuzah, because this isn't our dwelling place after we came out of Egypt. The Ramban says that the mitzvah of mezuzah is Zeichet Yetzias Mitzrayim. Perhaps it has to do with the fact that they put blood on the doorposts, and the mezuzah represents the idea of accepting. The Sifri says that the one lashon of the Sifri, that they accepted the yoke of heaven, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. They accepted it in Egypt. And the putting of the blood of the Karban Pesach in the door, in the doorposts of the houses in Egypt, that was demonstrative of that. So in a sense, the going into exile, that's a negation of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's becoming slaves again. So we need a special pasuk to tell us no. You have to put mezuzahs on. You have to put tefillin on, even in exile, even outside the land of Israel. Now, the question, but you could read the Rashi as saying, there's an expression in Rashi, says, ha-mitzvos, the mitzvos, doesn't seem to be limiting itself to tefillin and to mezuzah. It means mitzvos in general, positive commandments in general. Perhaps we don't have, I'm not saying it applies necessarily to all of them, on the basis of logic, but many of the mitzvahs, on the basis of logic, a person could have suggested, chas v'shalom, that we didn't have to do it outside the land of Israel when we went into exile. So the pasuk comes and tells us we have to do it, how we understand it. But you know, at a bris, we say, kishen shenichnas lebris, ken yekaneis l'torah l'chupal maisim tovim. That just as the baby entered bris, so he should enter Torah. Torah assumes means bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah. What happens at bar mitzvah? At bar mitzvah, a person becomes chayv in mitzvos. He submits to the mitzvos of the Torah, to the commandments of God. And chuppah is marriage. And what's Maisim Tovim? Maisim Tovim is good deeds. Why do we have to wait to get married to do Maisim Tovim? Why does Maisim Tovim have to be after marriage? Why didn't it say, Kishem Shenichnas Lebris, like he entered Bris, Ken Yikanes LeTorah Ula Maisim Tovim Ula Chuppah? Why is Maisim Tovim mentioned after marriage? Now, but I think I've mentioned very often Yaakov Avinu, when he was in base camp, And he said, "In Yiel Akim Madiv, God will be with me. Ushmarani Baderach Hazer Sharnochi Holeich, and watch me on this road that I'm going. V'nasan mi lechem lechol, give me bread to eat, to beg and lupos and clothes to wear. V'shafti b'shalom beisavi, and will return me in peace to my father's house. V'hayashem li lelkin, God will be for me a God." It's very strange. God, Yaakov, the Bechir Avos, the chosen one of the ancestors. So he says, "God, if you'll be good to me, I'll be good to you." How can we understand such a thing? Otherwise, I don't reckon you, Chas v'Shalom. How can we understand that? But the answer, I think, is every Jew has a double relationship with God. On one hand, we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, this God is my God, and he's the God of my ancestors. I have a relationship with God based on the perception of God in the life of my ancestors, in the life of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, in the life of Klal Yisrael throughout the generations, in the life of my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents. You know, Jews who were not observant, when it came to Yisker, they came in droves for sure. They didn't understand the idea of Elokeinu, of my God, but they understood the idea of the God of my ancestors. Today, because the relationship to parents is different, that even that relationship is very weak. Then there's another relationship, and that's the personal relationship. Elokeinu, my God, my sensing the presence of God in my life. And it's very interesting in the Oz Yashir, we say, Zekeli Vanveyu, this is my God. What does Vanveyu mean? Targum Onkelos says, Vanveyu means, I will build for him a mikdash. The base of mikdash represents that personal relationship that God has with the Jewish people. Elokei Avi V'Arom Imenu, the God of my ancestors, and I will exalt him. There's a double relationship. But here at the end, Mikdash Hashem Konanu Yetecha. We talk, the end of Daz Yashir, we talk about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Because up till this point, the Jewish people didn't sing Shira, according to many Midrashim. Why? I've mentioned. Because it was the God of their ancestors that redeemed them. At Yetzias Mitzrayim, they detected a personal relationship. Zekeli Banveo. So now they've put their sights on building a Beis HaMikdash, representing the personal relationship between God and the Jewish people. And you take a look at Mishlei, Kehelis, and Shirashirim. I've mentioned it many times. Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, identifies himself as Mishlei ben David, Mishlei the son of David. Kehelis, it's Kehelis ben David. Shir HaShirim, it's Shir HaShirim Asher LeShlomo. There's no place for David there. Rashi asks the question, why is it you don't mention David there? But the answer, I think, is very simple. Rashi explains it differently. You could read what I say into Rashi, perhaps. But Mishlei, Divrei Tochacha Musar, chastising, ethics. That's, Pirkei Avos is called ethics of the fathers. Shema B'ni Musar Avicha, that represents primarily the relationship of God in the life of our ancestors, especially when it comes to character traits. You can't learn character traits from a book. You have to learn it from example, from a teacher. Not by the way he teaches, but the way he acts, from a parent. The way he thinks, the way he lives. Then Kehelis talks of fear of God. Fear of God is something given over from father to son. Yaakov, when he refers to God, he says, Pachad Abi Yitzchak, the one that my father feared. But Shir HaShirim is a love relationship. When it comes to Shir HaShirim, it's just Shlomo, Shlomo and God. A love relationship is a personal relationship. There's no room for somebody else. So that's the idea. It's the personal relationship. Now, I think, so that's what Yaakov Avinu said. Yaakov said, God will be for me a God. He says, now that I'm forced to leave Yitzchak's tent, in Yitzchak's tent, Yitzchak dominated religiously. My main relationship with God was Elokei Avi Yitzchak, the God of my father Isaac. But now that I am forced to leave my father's tent, I will use this to strengthen my personal relationship with God. And what will I need to strengthen my personal relationship? I won't need a Kriya Shamsa. And love relationship in general should not be based just on these spectacular things, the spectacular presents, the spectacular trips. It's the things that are taken for granted. The lechem lechol, the begit lubosh, the food I eat, the clothes I wear, the returning in peace to my house, the things that are taken for granted, that should be the foundation of a love relationship. It will not only be the God of Abraham and Yitzhak, it'll be my God as well. I'll have that personal relationship. This stone that I'm setting up as a monument, it will be a base hamikdash, the symbol of the love relationship that exists between God and the Jewish people. So I think this is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the presence of God, offers us the opportunity to be closer to Him, to have that special love relationship. And that's even stronger in Yerushalayim. And mitzvah saseh, it's interesting, the Ramban and the Baal HaTanya, they both say that mitzvah saseh have their foundation in the Ahavas Hashem, of love of God. And mitzvah lo saseh, observance of the negative commandments, has its foundation in Yiras Hashem, fear of God, obviously. Both apply to both. But one symbolizes love of God and the other symbolizes fear of God. Now, when someone submits to God, when it's just Torah, that's based on fear of God. That's submitting to God. However, Ma'asim Tovim, good deeds, I think that has reference to the mitzvot aseh. So the positive commandments, in other words, you could do positive commandments in the way negative commandments are observed, primarily out of fear of God. But positive commandments could be on a higher level, the Ramban says. It represents the idea of love of God. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says, how does one come to love God? Like a man loves a woman, that all his thoughts are on her all the time. So in other words, marriage offers us an aid in understanding how to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it could be that that's the reason why we say, Kishem Shenichnas Lebris, just like this child entered the covenant, Ken Yekanes LeTorah, that sphere of God, submission, Chuppah, because the idea of love is learned through chuppah and ma'asim tovim. And that's why a person could have argued, a person perhaps could say that in chutz la'aretz, after you're in chutz la'aretz for a while, extended period of time, not you just left for a day or two, but for 1,000 years you left Eretz Yisrael. If you left Eretz Yisrael for 1,000 years, I would say, hey, at this point, you're not close to God anymore. So perhaps this is not the place for mitzvah saseh. Mitzvah saseh is for a place where you have a certain closeness to God that doesn't exist in for positive commandments. It doesn't exist in Chutz La'aretz. So no, so the Torah comes and tells us you have to do mitzvahs haseh in Chutz La'aretz, outside the land of Eretz Yisrael also. And I think this interesting thing is this week's Shabbos is the first day of Elul. The first day of Elul is still part of the month of Av. And what's the Haftorah? The Haftorah of this month, of this week, is Ani Asara Lo Nechama. The prophet comes back and he tells God, you sent me to the Jewish people to console them, and the Jewish people did not accept the consolation. The Vatomat Zion Azavani Hashem, God has forsaken me. Why? First of all, why do we need this whole game that God sends the Navi, sends the prophets, and the Jewish people reject it? And then the Navi goes back to God. God certainly knew and says, the Jewish people rejected it. And then God says, Anochi, Anochi, it's I. Why didn't God start off saying Anochi, Anochi? It's me that's consoling you. But what was the problem? The problem is, I think, many of the Jews at that time, they wanted a relationship with God. But they wanted a relationship with God. Only the God of my ancestors. They didn't want that personal, that love relationship. They would visit God in the Beis HaMikdash, the way people sometimes visit their parents in old age homes. But they're not involved with them at all. There's no real emotional attachment. So they would leave the Beis HaMikdash in a love relationship wherever you are. To a certain degree, the emotional attachment is still there. Whether the spouse is there or the spouse isn't there. The thoughts of the person is constantly on their spouse. And that has to be our relationship with God also. The personal relationship with God. And I think this was the problem. In other words, the Jewish people had to understand what their problem was. So at first they thought that God just wanted an acquaintance, a connection with them, a distant connection. There'll be a go-between, the Navi, but there won't be a personal relationship. God wanted the Jewish people to understand what their mistake was that led to the Churban, that led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But this... And then why does the Navi have to go back to God? Because sometimes the intermediary, the one who represents the Mesorah, and the Nevi'im represented the Mesorah. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he talked about God, about Nevi'im, he says that God will give you a Nevi'im who will be like me, that represent the Mesorah. The teachers of the Jewish people, the guides of the Jewish people. Yes, it's important for them to guide the Jewish people. But the guides themselves have to understand that each person needs to have his own personal relationship with God, in addition to the relationship they have with God through their teachers and through their parents and through their ancestors. So the Navi has to come back and tell God, it can't be just this relationship. The Jewish people want a personal relationship as well. And the two relationships together will be able to be restored. But our teachers, our guides, have to understand that as well as the Jewish people. That's why the Navi had to go back and tell it to God. They represent the Mesorah. And I think that this is the idea of the four Haftorahs. The Haftorahs before Chodesh Elul, yes. Ani Asara is Rosh Chodesh Elul, but it's the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's still the month of Av. But the Sunday, that's the first day of the month of Elul. It's the second day of Rosh Chodesh, but the first day of the month of Elul. It's the first day of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Elul represents the beginning of the personal love relationship that exists between God and the Jewish people. Till that time, our focus was reconnecting with God. But from Rosh Chodesh Elul, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain, the relationship was reestablishing that love relationship, that marital relationship. And the seventh week, what do we say? In the seventh week, we say that God has dressed me like a chasen, like a kala, because my love relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God, has been restored. So the idea is, Eretz Yisrael, we look forward to being all in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not Eretz Yisrael by itself. It's the fact that Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim and with the base of Mikdash, we will have that restore, that personal love relationship that we had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kishanim Kadmonios, like earlier years. Okay. Anybody?
Okay, everybody, please put any questions you might have in the chat, and we will read them to Rav Moshe. One question is, can you please repeat the Gemara about someone leaving Eretz Yisrael?
Gemara service, last parak, I think it's Kuf Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara says that if somebody, the Kol Hador Eretz Yisrael, Kili Yesh Lo Akav, if someone lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's like he has a God. Is like somebody, appears like somebody who has a God. And someone who lives in Chutz Laretz, it's like he doesn't have a God. So then the Gemara asks, somebody lives in Chutz Laretz, doesn't have a God. Somebody lives in Chutz Laretz, it's like he's Oved Avodah Zarah. But the first half from Rashi and Chumash, it's apparent, the first half remains that when you live in Eretz Yisrael, in the sense that it offers you the greater opportunity to have a personal relationship with God.
Okay. Big Yashar Koach to Rav Moshe. From Harris Goldberg, so yeah. We'll join him. Any other questions in the chat here? I don't see any. Well, another splendid shear. Okay, so Rav Moshe, thank you very much.
Next Sunday again.
Yeah, next Sunday on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Wish everybody a Shavua Tov, a good week, and a Chodesh Tov. And should be Zocha to, as Rav Moshe mentioned, to the Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, to reestablishing our love relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and through that to the ultimate Geula. Thank you, Rav Moshe.
You're welcome. Okay.
Be well. Bye-bye.